welcome to the 2020 season of the Westlife podcast. My name is Josh Barnett. I am your host. Very excited to start a second year after the first year of starting this podcast. I was very chuffed to see so many people, both at games and on the street and on Twitter and that sort of thing, say they enjoyed it. So here we are back for a second season. I've got plenty planned for this season, but first off, we are going to do a season preview, so everything you need to know ahead of the 2020 season. I've got some news that you may not have caught up with over the summer, a few notes from the preseason games, a breakdown of our draw, and I'll finish with some predictions that you probably should take zero advice from, but it's always fun to do those at this time of year. So let's get on with the news. Okay, some news. Wasn't an eventful summer at all for the West Tigers, was it? I say that in complete sarcasm. Of course, there's so much that's happened over the summer. So just a few updates on for those who are living under a rock and didn't hear a single thing said about us. So first up, I guess the biggest news was the Josh Reynolds scandal, which dropped, as you probably know. He was accused of domestic violence, and that became like a Days of Our Lives script in the end. When that dropped, I kept my opinions pretty dormant throughout the saga, partly because I didn't want to believe it, and secondly because after meeting Josh Reynolds a few times, I thought he'd be the last guy that could be capable of doing that horrible stuff that he was accused of doing. But someone did tell me in my direct messages on Twitter about this whole fake pregnancy thing that went on. Someone that was close to Josh Reynolds told me this, and as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, by the sounds of it, it's a case of, crazy ex-girlfriend sort of drama. But, the fact that I saw people, as soon as he was announced, this news was announced, rather, and people were already talking about cap room and how they sort of advantage the team and that sort of thing. And I found that pretty disgusting because at the end of the day, it's a man's life. It's bigger than footy. Like, and he's a very good man. Like I said, if you ever met Josh, he's such a good dude and does so much good for the community around him and off the field. Say what you like about him on the field because he's known as the grub. But when a man's life and career is at stake, it's not not something to just start talking, to throw it to the side and, just start talking football again, because he could have gone to jail, his career could have ended, and in the end, it looked like it would have been unrightfully so. So, as things came to light, like I said, the whole pregnancy faking and, as you might have seen the current affairs story about how she's making up identities and all that sort of thing, I'm sure you've all heard all about it, so I won't go too much into detail, but the NRL sorted out and he can focus on footy. He's supposedly going to have all charges dropped, so good on Joshy Reynolds. He looked pretty good in the trials, so he can focus on footy from here. Elsewhere, the Centre of Excellence at Concord, now if you don't remember, the Liberal government winning the election, well, both governments were promising a mill for the Concord Oval revamp, so that's under construction already. They also got a $5 million grant from the government and to set up a Cubs engagement program, so like a community engagement program with that. So it'll be good that the team will have a high-class facility finally. If anyone's ever toured the Tigers training facilities, dead set, it's not very pretty. It's compared to other teams. I've been to Fitness First gyms that are better than what the boys are training with under there. And it's just dark and dreary. It's literally underneath the grandstand at Concord Oval. It's there's no windows, and it's just really depressing. And I know some people might say, oh, well, they've got to kind of put up with it, but it's elite athletes. They got to have the best facilities, and it goes a long way to having the best team in the comp. And if you look at all the best teams in the comp, they do have the best facilities. So good on Justin Pascoe for getting that through, and I thought maybe they'd have the facility a little bit further west. I know they were talking originally about it being in the Liverpool area, but and I'll probably would have chosen Campbelltown sort of area for it, but be as it may, Concord is going to be the location for training for many years to come, and hopefully it'll be a nice, sweet-looking training facility to help not only the boys that are here now, but to recruit some people as well, because that can go way between signing someone and not signing someone. So fingers crossed that should be finished mid-next year, they reckon. If you haven't heard, Moses Mbai and Benji Marshall were named as co-captains for this year. Although Moses now, as I'll talk about later on, he'll miss the first couple of games. So King Benji Marshall will lead us out for what is probably his last season. Who knows? He's 35 this year. But yeah, I couldn't imagine a better person to lead us out of the tunnel week after week than good old Benji Marshall. Now, this is NRL-wide. There's been a few rule changes, a couple that might affect us, as I'll go into. So the 40-20, as you may know, you've got to kick it from behind the 40. If it lands out behind the 20, you get the ball back. There's now a 20-40, which obviously if you switch that around, if you kick it from behind the 20, it goes out past the 40. You get the ball back as well now. So it'll be interesting to see if anyone trapped in their 20 tries that strategy. It seems a bit risky, but something to keep an eye out for. Now, just days ago before I recorded this, a captain's challenge was approved. So they get, I don't know if you watch the tennis or even cricket over the summer, where they can review decisions. So rugby league is jumping on that bandwagon. Just like the tennis, if you lose, get your decision incorrect, you lose it, and you'll only get one incorrect call per game, if that makes sense. So and the captains make that call, and they can only review something that has resulted in a restart of play. So it can't be like a referee missing a call. I'm not sure if people watch the NBA basketball, they've introduced that the previous season, and there's a lot of people that say, oh, why can't you review this call that wasn't was missed? And yeah, there's just certain things. So it has to be a restart and play, and they say, look, we want to review that. And they can overturn, be it change the scrum feed or yeah, something along those lines. So that's I don't mind that, because you always see NRL players whinging about decisions by referees. So they'll probably be more honest now, because they can go to their captain and say, look, I think this decision's wrong, review it. And if they know in themselves that they've made a mistake, then they're not going to waste the review. So you'd think. That's how you think it'd. But who knows with rugby league players. So after the controversial trainer touching the ball incident in the grand final, which saw the Roosters get another set of six, which was an absolute farce. In the grand final, that then meant the Roosters get the ball back. But now it'll just go back to the start of that play. The ball. They'll just restart that play, which is a bit of common sense there and a rule that probably should have been in years ago, but I guess never really happened, so they didn't really bother changing it. Another big one. This is probably the biggest one, in my opinion, in terms of where it'll affect the Tigers. You can't tackle an attacking player in the air anymore. So when the kick's put up previously, you'd be able to tackle a guy who's on the attacking side, so the kicking side, and you could tackle him mid-air to stop him from scoring a try. That's illegal now. So obviously before you could do it to the, you couldn't do it to a defensive player. But this is going to lead to guys like Daniel Tupou. I reckon he's going to score dead set 30 tries this year, because the dude's just going to jump and you can't do anything. You can't out-jump him. You can't tackle him. What are you going to do? You just kind of got to hope that you can get him when his feet hit the ground. And then you've got guys like Josh Mansour for the Panthers, and then our guys like Corey Thompson and David Nofaluma, who can't jump as high as some of the other wingers in the comp. So it might, let's hope it doesn't affect us too much. It's an odd rule, I think, because, yeah, it's how do you defend high kicks now? I'm not too sure, but, those good halfbacks that can put a kick that just crosses the try line and puts a player in a position where basically if he catches it, he scores. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of tries from that this year. So, like I said, guys like Daniel Tupou, who can leap as good as a basketball player, they're just going to absolutely carve up with that rule. So, players lost and gained over the summer. Now, ESN Masters, who you all probably know I rated pretty highly, he was released to the Cowboys. After a year, he was seemed pretty lazy. My opinion of him wavered a little bit. I stuck by him, but he did seem a little bit lazy. And the fact that we got a quality center in return makes me a little bit less sad about that. Now, Ben Matalino, he was medically retired, so he got his full wage back. Robbie Farah, of course, retired by choice. And so did Robbie Rocco. Mahe Fanua is now at Hull FC in the UK Super League. And, of course, we can't forget that snake, Ryan Madison. He cried his way all the way to the Eels and no longer with us. So we got a few good gains. Firstly, Adam Dwayhe. Now, a lot of people are calling him Dewey. And my wife, she teaches at a predominantly Lebanese school. And they have students there who have the same last name. And all the Lebanese teachers at the school, I've got to check this for me, they pronounce it Dwayhe. So there's no Dewey, it's Dwayhe, like Dwayhe. So I'm not too sure if Adam himself pronounces it the same, but I can only assume, being the same last name, and he's Lebanese as well, obviously, that that's how it's actually pronounced. So everyone's saying Dewey, it's Dwayhe. So what you do with that information, I don't know, but yeah, I'll try and get pronunciations right when I can. So yeah, he came from Souths and they're paying a bit of his salary for this year, which is good. And then we've got him a couple of years after that. We also got the Leilua brothers, which is really exciting. They were so exciting to watch in the trials already, and I'm so excited to see them this year. So we've got back rower Luciano Leilua from the Dragons, and then his 28-year-old brother BJ or Joseph from the Raiders, who we all have had nightmares about for years and years and years, and it's just so damn good to have him in the black, orange and white, because he gave us nightmares out there, and now hopefully he can give others the same doing. And I mean, people are saying he might be old and past it. 28's not old. My God, I'm 32 in a couple of weeks. If 28's old, then Jesus, I need to start thinking about my retirement. But I can't wait to watch those guys play. Of course, we've got Billy Walters, who also played really well in the trials. He came from the Storm, and it looks like he has the number 9 spot sewn up, unless we get Harry Grant. Now, as I record this, there was talk that we're still trying to do that player swap with Paul Movarovsky with the Storm for a year, It shows for them to not release him without some sort of compensation, even for a year. It shows how much they rate him, despite him being the third in line hooker. So, come on, Melbourne, you can't bloody hold all the talent all the time. Just let us have a bit of Harry Grant, because we need a decent rake while Jacob Little fights that injury off the field. We did a few contract extensions as well. So Tommy Talau, Alex Twal, Luke Garner, they all penned to the end of 22, which is pretty cool because they're talented, up-and-coming young guys. So it was cool to see them extend further. Now, for those who want to know, players off contract this year, we have Oliver Clark, Matt Eisenhuth, Rob Jennings, Chrissy Lawrence, Benji Marshall, Sam McIntyre, Chris McQueen, and Paul Movarovsky, although they are apparently trying to get an extension done for Momo, even if he does go to the Storm for a year. Young Alex Seafarth, who you might have seen in the trials, a big young ginger bloke who's an absolute giant, looks like he may be pretty good. But Dylan Smith and Elijah Taylor also, their contract runs out at the end of this year, so we'll see if any of those extend beyond. You'd almost assume that Chris McQueen won't. Chrissy Lawrence struggled to get an extra year in his contract, so who knows, he's 30, he's the same age as me, he's 32. this year, so we'll see if he gets another year based on his long service to the club. Rob Jennings probably needs to do a little bit more. Matt Eisenhuth probably needs a big year. Ollie Clark showed some good signs, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a contract extension and they put a bit of faith in him for a bit of depth. But I'm not Michael Maguire or Justin Pascoe, so we'll see what they do there. Now, I'm going to run through the schedule for this year, which is a pretty good one. I was pretty happy when that dropped back in, I think it was November, the schedule drops. So we kick off the season in Wollongong next week, and I'll do a preview for that game closer to. I'm really excited to get back down there, though. One of my best mates is from down Wollongong way, and we've been mates for a decade, and we've been at the Tigers Dragons semis together, Anzac Day games together, all sorts of Tigers Dragons games together, and we've never seen him play down his neck of the woods at the Gong. And we were down there in 2008, and that's so long ago. I drove down there on my P plates, so that shows how long it is since we've been down to the Gong. Now, our home games, we will start the year off round two at Leichhardt against the Knights. Other Leichhardt games, round 10 against the Bunnies on a Sunday arvo. Now, if you haven't bought tickets for that yet, you're an absolute madman, or a membership for that matter, that'll secure a seat or a spot on the hill for that. Because even if it rains, my God, South on a Sunday arvo at Leichhardt is literally like the hat trick for the closest to a sellout we'll ever get. And it's mid-season too, so it's not like any team should be out of the running for the top eight or anything. It might be a little bit cool, but being an arvo game, it shouldn't be too bad. Yeah, get your tickets for that one if you haven't already, or even better, get a Leichhardt included membership. It could be one of the games of the year. I can't wait for that one. As soon as I saw that in the draw, I was like, okay, let's you could probably, most Tigers South games you get 30,000, we're going to fit into the 18,000 capacity Leichhardt Oval. Fair enough, that'll be fun. I'm not sure if anyone remembers in 2005 when we had people sitting on the roof and there was 22,000 packed in there. That was a good day. The fact that we won made it even better. But Leichhardt Oval then won't get another game until the season finale against the Cowboys. Hopefully that is not another game where we miss out on the semi-finals. But in all seriousness, yeah, hopefully it doesn't come down to that. Hopefully we secure a top eight spot. But I've got a weird feeling that game might be a do or die one again. Now, out at Campbelltown, its first game is round three against the Doggies. That's a game, corresponding game. Last year we gave away stupidly when Kieran Foran had the best game of his last 5 years probably and carved us up, and we lost that one, which in the end probably cost us a top eight spot. Campbelltown doesn't get another home game after that till rounds 21 and 23, where we play the Queensland teams, Broncos and Titans. Interestingly enough, in that last stretch before the semis, we only play one Sydney team in the last five rounds. So what that means, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. But now Bank West, we've got Easter home game against the Eels in Parramatta. I know how many of you are disgusted that we play the Eels there, but be as it may, we then play there in terms of home games, round 14 against the Panthers, and then 6 days later against the Dragons, which is our only Thursday night game of the year. And then we'll play the defending Premiers, the Roosters, 2 weeks after that on another Friday night. But plenty of you bag out Bank West, but I quite liked the midwinter games there last year. Stadium's much more cosy than the suburban grounds in night games in the middle of winter, especially Campbelltown. I cannot stand going to Campbelltown. Call me soft, call me inner west yuppie or whatever, but I don't know how you guys out there live in weather that's so damn cold in the middle of winter, because sitting in the stands in Campbelltown, need a hot water bottle to just be able to breathe when you're in the middle of winter out there. But Bank West, we also have three road games as well. So That means, of course, we have a total of 7 games there this year. What does suck is if you've got a membership for Bank West, you don't get those games included, so you've got to buy tickets. Again, like we used to get when we used to play at ANZ Stadium, which kind of sucks, but be as it may, I'll probably be at those anyway. So those away games at Bank West. So to blow the mind of the people that think it's weird that we play Parramatta, the Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs also moving home games there. So, yeah, ANZ's meant to be closing down after Origin this year for refurbishments, but someone in the know Olympic Park has told me they might actually scrap that project altogether because the Allianz project is taking up so much of the state budget. So they might put the ANZ facelift on hold and keep it open. So a bit of a schmozzle when it comes to that, but yeah, we'll see what happens when that's announced, if it's announced. But the road games, obviously we play Parramatta in Parramatta, that's in round 13. Then we play the Rabbitohs in round 17 and the Doggies in round 24. So there's a run in there. We play 4 games in 5 weeks in Bank West. So for those taking a stand against playing in Para, I'll repeat what I said last year. It's a damn good place to watch footy. The view is way better than ANZ. The variety of food's good. The beer line moves quicker. You get out of the stadium without a fuss. Parramatta's also a good place. I know I hate Parramatta fans. I don't hate Parramatta fans. I despise Parramatta fans. They're whingers. They're annoying. I hate the Parramatta club and everything about them. And I wish they crash and burn. But Parramatta as a suburb is pretty good. It's got a lot of restaurants, pubs. The train station's not super far away. It's walking distance. Most of the games there are going to be night games, so it might not be child-friendly per se, but in terms of night out with the boys, and we're playing against Sydney team, so you probably have mates that go from one of the other teams. It's just make a good night out of it. Go to the pub, sing a skewy or two, have a snitty, and then head over and across the road and watch the boys play. I like Parramatta as a suburb. I hate the rugby league club, but just swallow your pride and get out there. Just watch footy without thinking about politics and overthinking that we're helping Parramatta or whatever the stupid theories other people have argued with me on Twitter about. But I don't get why people are so caught up on locations these days. Anyway, I mean, look, South Sydney are playing there. They're Redfern and they're playing in Parramatta. Fans aren't located in pockets of Sydney anymore. They're not tribal areas. Especially with kids. I mean, I do a lot of work. I do a lot of sports work with kids. And I've seen so many of them go for the Roosters now. And obviously, I don't do any work in the eastern suburbs. I rarely venture across the Cross City Tunnel where all those pompous snobs are. I prefer to stay out west. But there's so many Roosters fans. They're just bandwagoning. They don't care that the Roosters aren't based anywhere near them. But such is the times that kids don't have affiliations with their local area, as maybe generations like mine and previous. But I grew up on the Central Coast and we all had our teams. We didn't have a team to support anyway. And the default was kind of the Newcastle Knights, but we all had our own Sydney team. Anyway, so it didn't really matter up there. But these Gen Z kids, they're massive bandwagoners. I've seen heaps of Rabbitohs fans, Roosters fans in Western Sydney, which is weird, but likewise in the NBA, you see a lot of Golden State Warriors and Lakers jerseys on their backs now, and you got Messi and Ronaldo soccer jerseys. The kids just like winners, but if you're one of those parents that lets your kids bandwagon, I recommend making them suffer through being a Tigers/Magpies supporter like we were in the 90s, and look how tough it made us in the end. Kids have got to learn how to lose this generation with their fourth place medals. You need to pull your heads in. But in all seriousness, get out to Parramatta for some games this year. You won't regret it. Our fourth home ground, yes, hold for laughter. We are playing in Tamworth again, so we have a fourth home ground for this season. That'll be round 9 against the Raiders. I went there a couple of years ago when we lost in the buzzer to the Knights, but even though it was a heartbreaking loss, it was a good place to go and watch footy. The Leagues Club is adjacent to the field, and it's a cool little town. I've never been there before, so book your accommodation, book your tickets now. If it's not sold out, I actually didn't check if it's sold out, but it's a tiny little country ground, so it'll sell out quick. It's a Saturday night, so yeah, like I said, buy your ticket, get an Airbnb or a hotel, and it's not a bad little weekend away up in Tamworth. A few more away games. So, as I said, we start the year in the Gong. Then we've got New Zealand against the Warriors in round four. We normally play well against across the Dutch. I think the Warriors will be not great this year. They didn't look very good in the trial, and a lot of people are picking them for the wooden spoon because yeah, they haven't got much depth in their squad this year. That should be a win. Penrith, we're out in the Riff in round six. That's in the school holidays. So fit into the crowd out in the Riff with your UGG boots and your flannelettes. So also on the school holidays, we're playing up in the Goldie. So playing against the Titans. That's a good excuse to have a family holiday up in Surfers Paradise or something. Take the kids to the Movie World or Dream World, and then go watch the boys play on the Friday night. Now, we've also got a game up in my place of conception, birth and education, the Central Coast. We're going to play in Gosford against Manly for the first time since my 25th birthday in 2013. So Manly ruined my birthday that night, had all my family there with me as the Tigers came to my hometown. And of course, we lost 26-0, as such as the Tigers to let you down on your day of the year or any day of the year normally. But but the best part of that is we don't have to play in Manly this year, which in my opinion is the worst ground in Sydney. God, I hate Brookvale with a passion. It's a great place in summer. The beaches are fantastic. I'm sure it's a great place to live, but God, I hate Brookvale Oval. Speaking of places to hate as well, Melbourne, we're down there for round 16 on a Friday night. That's a joke. I actually think that stadium's really cool. Went down there in 2012, I think, 12 or 13, to watch the Tigers play. I know that we won, was it Origin round, but we beat the Storm. And it's a sick city, sick stadium. It's really easy to get to. Trams, Melbourne just do public transport so much better than Sydney. So look at the Jetstar flights for getting down there for that Friday night. We're also up at Newcastle in round 9. That's a Sunday afternoon, and hopefully the M1 North Connects tunnel. I've been keeping my eye on that. Obviously, I've got a lot of family up the Central Coast, and I travel up there a lot. So there's a tunnel, if you don't know, that's going to be built from the M2 to the M1. So Pennant Hills Road will be completely bypassed. So if you live in Western Sydney, getting up to Newcastle will probably take you about an hour and a half. Once that's completed, so head up to Newcastle. It's a pretty cool stadium since it's been refurbished to watch footy as well. The week after that, we play against the Sharks at their home ground, which, funny enough, is Jubilee Stadium this year. So you probably know that as Cogra. That's right. The Sharkies are playing their home games at their crosstown rivals ground. So you think Bankwest, us at Bankwest, is funny. The Sharkies are playing in St. George because their stadium is getting refurbished as well. So, we'll be there. That'd be very odd playing the Sharks at Cogra. But, it's not far down the road for those Southern Cross tattooed folk to go watch the Sharkies play. So, it kind of makes sense, I guess. The Raiders are our last travelling game of the season. So not last away game, but last game outside of our home grounds, because we're playing Bankwest away games after that. But that's round 22 down in the nation's capital, and it might be a bit better to go down there now that BJ is on our side of the fence. But who knows? But that's a long way away in terms of time, so we'll address that when it comes. So hopefully the Tigers are in better form than the Raiders, and it's not a usual shellacking that we get from those guys. But that's the schedule for the year. Check some dates and try to get out to as many games as you can. Get a membership as I always preach, and go out and support the boys. As you may have already seen, you've probably watched it, but the Nines tournament ended in typical West Tigers style, really. Missing out on the playoffs by a single for and against point after losing to the Titans by a point. So annoying, but I guess at least it was less games to play and get injuries. We already had Momo get injured in the first game. So if you look at teams like the Dragons, it can be disastrous in terms of players going down injured for games that don't really matter. So I think the boys were just glad to fly home fully intact pretty much after that one. After that, our first trial was against the Panthers in the Riff. So most of the main guys didn't play that game anyway, but a few noteworthy performances. Billy Walters played really good at hooker. Adam Dwayhe at fullback was good. It was 4-0 at halftime when we had what first graders were there out there playing. The second half they played pretty much non-first graders. So the four tries the Panthers put on us, take that with a grain of salt, because literally almost zero first grade players were in our team, bar a couple here and there. So that didn't really matter too much. So they put more effort in the Warriors game in Rotorua the week after. We were pretty much full strength of that, minus Eisenhuth and Movarovsky. That game was really interesting, seeing the new combinations. The Leilua's look so damn delicious out there. Noffa's going to just feast on meat pies. Rapana got that joy over the years when he was paired with him, so Noffa might get a few tries this year, because of that edge is going to be an absolute dynamite for us. Mies thinks, but Benji looked really good, I thought. He looked really sharp. He was throwing, just typically himself, didn't show like he's 35 years old, just doing what he does. Brooksy was pretty good. His kicking game was a bit here and there, but he ran the ball well, got guys in holes, and looked like he was controlling the game pretty well. Scored a great try, soccer style, with a three kicks in a row, and kicked up and scored. Corey Thompson started at the one, so this is probably the most interesting. Probably fullback and hooker roles are probably the two up in the air decisions at the moment. Corey started the one, and then Dwayhe got the second half there. I don't know what Madge is going to do. They both played pretty good. Maybe Corey's going to get first crack at it. But, yeah, I guess I have to let you know the team list next week when I preview that game. But, yeah, Madge has got a good thing, I guess, that he's got quality players. He doesn't know who he's got to choose between. Likewise with the hooking roles. Josh Reynolds looked pretty good, scored a good try from dummy half, so he provided a little energy. I think, yeah, maybe he'd be the 14th man. That's probably where I'd play him in minimal minutes and just bring on a bit of energy. But yeah, like I said, that's Madge's job, not mine. So the only downside of the game, Moses Mbai injured his knee, so he might miss the first couple of games. Now, that might make Madge's decision making a little easier. Maybe Dwayhe slots in the centres, but he did put Lawrence there when Moses went off, so I don't know if that says anything. Maybe he was just holding Dwayhe because he wanted to see him at fullback. Well, also, actually, Zane Musgrave looked really good in the trial too, so maybe he'll push for a forward spot. Josh Alaye, he was back. He looked really good. His first game in quite a while, because he missed the last few of last year. His big tree trunk legs pumping again was good to see. Another low-key good game was Elijah Taylor. I thought he played really well. Didn't give away any penalties, which is always a plus. There's a lot of good players out there. I mean, we're not necessarily any superstars in our team, but we've got a lot of guys, and they just look like they were putting in. The defense looked really good. Looked like they were muscling up even for a trial. So, I think Madge, I might be biased, but I think Madge has got the boys set and ready to go for the season. So I'll try and make some predictions from all of that after this. Okay, well, I can't do a season preview without putting my non-existent reputation on the line and make a few predictions about the season. ladder wise, I'm going to say, I said eighth last year, and that's pretty close in the end. I was only a point off it. I think seventh this year. I think we're at least as good as nine other teams, which would put us eighth. The only teams that I can unbiasedly say are better than us: Roosters, Storm, Rabbitohs, Manly, and Parramatta. So they'll be the top five, probably, in my opinion. The grand final will be two of those teams. Hopefully not Parramatta, which would be handy. But yeah, we'll come in behind those. We'll be fighting probably Canberra, Brisbane, Panthers. They're all a bit up in arms what they'll do. Same with the Knights. Maybe the Cowboys with their guys back. And they've got Jason Tomalolo, so you can never count them out. So we'll probably be fighting those guys for those back end of the top eight spots. Plenty of people saying we're going to have a terrible season. Just don't take notice of them. I can't see us being worse of a team last year, and I think a couple of teams like the Sharks a couple others might be not as good as last year. So in my biased opinion, I think we should sneak into the eight, but I have been saying that for 8 years now. We just need to not drop silly games like the Bulldogs, one or two Bulldogs games last year. We should have beaten them, and then we lost to the Panthers when we just needed a field goal to win. So we were so close to a top eight spot. Like, you can't get any closer. But for people to say that we're not gonna make the top eight, some people are, but most people are saying we're going to be down the bottom. But I think that's just normal clickbait stuff. So we also only have to play the Roosters and the Storm once each too, which is handy. So that's pretty favourable. I think we'll win 13 games this year, so 13-11 record, which should be good enough for seventh. In my opinion, we should win our first four games. So Dragons got a few injuries. I know on Sportsbet they're favourites, but I'm not sure. I think we could get the Dragons first round, and from there, the Knights are pretty good too, but the Leichhardt factor might come into play. And then we've got the Bulldogs at Campbelltown, which we should win. And then the Warriors, who I said earlier, are pretty rubbish this year, in my opinion. And we usually play pretty good in New Zealand. So the first four, we should get the first four. So round five is against the Eels and Easter. I don't have a lot of confidence in that game, but who knows? The first four games will be really important. I think if we go 4-4 in those, then who knows? It could be in for a special season. So give us a bit of confidence going into that Eels game. And I was out of the country for Easter last year, so I was glad to miss that one. But fingers crossed, it's a bit more competitive this year. But the Eels do have a very good side, as much as I hate to say that. But yeah, they're all big ifs. I mean, that's the beauty of sport, and rugby league in particular. You never know what's going to happen. And as they say, you're going to have to take it 1 week at a time. But I'll be back next week. That's our pre-season preview episode for 2020. I'll be back next week for a preview of round one. Enjoy your last non-rugby league weekend until October. Footy's back, guys. Let's get excited.